this job would be a whole lot easier if Jesus wouldn't say things like this. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Well, I can probably get around with hating brothers. Now, that I can probably deal with. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, who here has not had a brother or sister that just wanted to clobber? I mean, come on, be honest now. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. That's hard. I don't like this. You know what? Even though this is written in red, you know, in most Bibles, I think I'm just going to toss this one out. I mean, I don't like this one. This one makes me uncomfortable. This one looks like it's going to be hard to deal with. This one looks like it's going to have to, cause me to make a decision. Look down at the bottom. It gets worse, friends. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. I like my stuff. I want to keep my stuff. I've spent a lot of money buying my stuff. I've got some nice stuff that's been given to me. I got to give it up? Yeah. In a manner of speaking, yes. When I went off to the monastery, when I went off to become a novice of a monastic community, I had to set aside almost all of my stuff. I had to go through and pick out a few pieces of clothing to wear, clothing that would be good during the summer and the fall and the winter in Boston, in the spring and again in the summer. I had to choose a few pieces of clothing that I could wear. I had to choose the cassock that fit me the best. I had to choose the few books I liked the most. I had to choose the CD of music that I liked the most. And I had to take everything else. Tables and chairs and couches and bookcases and books and videotapes and televisions and stereo sets and clothing and stuff and stuff and more stuff. And I had to take it and put it into a storage facility and take the few items I selected, put them in the back of my car, and drive to Boston. It was hard, but it was also freeing because I didn't have this great big caboose full of stuff behind me. I wasn't laden down by a lot of stuff. Two trips, and I had my car emptied into my cell in the monastery. Oh, it was freeing and terrifying at the same time. It was freeing and terrifying, and yet I knew even then I had not given up all of my possessions. I still had clothing, books and music, and a car. I still had stuff. It's one of the hardest things about moving. It's really hard saying goodbye to a congregation. You get to love the people. You get to comfortable with their faces. You know which faces to look at when you're preaching. You know where all the landmines are in the congregation, who to be careful with, who you can play with in worship and who you can't. And you go to a church where you don't know a single person. You don't know their faces. You don't know their names. You don't know where the landmines are. You don't know their history. You don't know nothing. It's uncomfortable. But the hardest thing after all of that, the hardest thing about moving is packing up your stuff. And I look at the piles of stuff and I think to myself, I got too much of it. Let's get rid of some of it. And so I make myself a resolution. I will get rid of 1/3 of my stuff with the next move. By which time I usually have 1/3 extra. to move. It's a never-ending war. Those of us who wear vestments, my friends, myself included, this last one is tough. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. What did Jesus mean? What did Jesus mean about this? What did Jesus mean about this statement here at the very beginning? Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. What did Jesus mean? The word used here is a beautiful, multifaceted, dynamic word in Greek. It's the word missio. And it does not mean just emotionally laden, visceral hatred. It means also preference or deference. In other words, this could easily be translated, in fact, is probably best translated, whoever comes to me and does not prefer me over father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Well, that's a little better, but it's still hard. I mean, we got to prefer Jesus. We've got to prefer God over mother and father, brothers and sisters, wife and husbands, children, and life itself. Yep. And that's fundamentally what he's talking about here. You have to set your priorities. When you enter into a relationship with God, when you begin following Jesus, you start by setting a priority. And that initial priority is that God comes first. You can't start and stop. You can't get going, discover it's too tough, and quit. That's what he says. Once you start, you start. And you've got to start recognizing that God comes first. Doing what God says comes first. Following the gospel comes first. Doing the gospel comes first. Proclaiming the gospel comes first. Being a disciple of Jesus comes first. Even ahead of father and mother, sister and brother, wife and children, and life itself. And especially ahead of possessions. Possessions get in the way. They are distractions. And I hate to say it, but sometimes family and friends and even churches can become distractions. Jesus' calling is tough. It's hard. It's not easy. Even though he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, it is not an easy calling to say, my priority will be God-centered and not me-centered. My priority will be oriented toward what God wants, not what I want, not what my parents want, not what my brothers and sisters want, not what the bishop wants, but what God wants. That means that ahead of me comes God and God's calling. That's not easy. That's not easy. But it's the only way to live a life of a disciple. To set the priority that God comes first. To set the priority that the gospel comes first. To set the priority that what you profess with your lips, you are going to do with your body. With your lips, with your hands, with your feet. When I talk about becoming the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears and the lips of Jesus, this is precisely what I mean. This is precisely what the gospel means. This is precisely what Jesus means. Placing God first. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to set God as your first priority? I mean, that's the uncomfortable part. Recognizing that that's the high calling. The good news is that the calling of God, what God calls us to do and be, what God calls us to be as disciples, following Jesus first and foremost, what God calls us to do by preferring Jesus before anything else, what God calls us to do by setting aside our possessions and following Him, what God calls us to do is to love and serve others, to share the love of God with all, to welcome all into the family of the faith without restriction, without barrier, without denial. To be open to the needs of others and reach out with the love of God. Well, that's not easy either, but it's part of the calling. Indeed, it is the principal aspect of the calling when we place our faith into action. When our faith stops being simple belief and becomes true faith, is that exact moment when we have said, God's calling goes first, and I'm going to do it. And then you turn, and you step out in faith, and do what God says. Forgive those who have sinned. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the prisoners in prison, the widows and the orphans. Teach those who are hungry to learn. Serve those who need to be served. Express the love of God to all without limit or restriction. Be the hands and the feet of Christ. Be the body of Christ in a broken and hurting world. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, follow me. Set aside the distractions. Set aside the ego. Set aside yourself. And follow Jesus. And that means following Jesus as Jesus leads and doing what Jesus says. Loving, accepting, indeed, as he says here, taking up the cross, perhaps even dying for others, that they might know the love of God. That's a tall order. That's a big prescription. I don't know if I can do it. When I went off to the monastery, I thought to myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to give up all my possessions. I can make a vow of obedience. I've already done that. I was already ordained a deacon. I can do that. I may not like it, but I can do it. I can make a vow of chastity. I can make a vow of poverty. But to give up my possessions, truly, I didn't see I was going to be able to do it. They really didn't. It was a wealthy monastic community with the wealth held commonly for the good not just of the monks, but for all who would come seeking help. How do you do it? Today's hymn tells us how. The hymn we sang before the sermon, verse 4, speaks to me today. O Christ, I cannot search my heart through all its tangled ways. Oh, sometimes my heart is so horribly tangled with what I want and what I know I'm supposed to do and be. O Christ, I cannot search my heart through all its tangled ways, nor can I with a certain mind my steadfastness appraise. I can try this. I can say, okay, I'm going to do it, but then I know I'm going to stumble. I only pray that when you call, come follow, follow me, you'll give me strength beyond my own to follow faithfully. That's what it takes. Strength beyond our own to follow faithfully. Today, when you come to the table of the Lord, receive the strength beyond your own to follow faithfully.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.